This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
425 Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert with Derek Johnson. Let's rank stuff coming up at 5 o'clock. Strap in, folks, because this one is going to have some heads spinning. I think we're gonna feel the heat on this one, Derek, but you know what? That's the life that we chose. Or is it the life that chose us? One in the same. You're so, for being the producer, you're so horrendous at just turning your own microphone on. Your own microphone. It's like your only job.
It's my biggest downfall.
It is, but I feel like that should be the one thing that you excel at more than anything else. Whatever, cue the music. It's time for the Tuesday news break. And this isn't really news, but it is an anniversary that I want to share. Today in 1893, Lizzie Borden was acquitted of killing her parents in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Are you familiar?
Way to start off positive.
Are you familiar with the Lizzie Borden?
No.
You know.
Oh, wait. No, I think they made a TV show about this. This was wasn't this girl like a serial killer besides killing her parents?
No, I don't think she was a serial. She might have been, but I know that she simply was someone who chopped up her parents. All I knew about her for like first 20 years of my life was the song, the nursery song. Well, not really a nursery rhyme, but it's. Do you remember this?
No.
But Lizzie.
My parents didn't sing me.
My parents didn't sing me this either, but I stumbled upon it. Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, gave her father 41. Nothing?
Nope.
Do you think we're past the days of creating nursery rhymes for murders?
Yeah, that's probably not something that goes over well.
Well, I mean, she did get acquitted, so.
Yeah, there was a TV show for it. Well, it was like a one season series. Came out in 2015.
Well, I know that there's a movie coming out starring the girl from the Twilight movies. Kristen Stewart? Yeah. Well, because Lizzie Borden is an American, I wouldn't say an icon, but it's one of those stories that we never got to the bottom of. And it happened in the 1890s. If it would have just happened like any time in the past 40 years, it would have been the most open and shut case because like there's no forensic evidence. I've always maintained this. If it happened before, and you could get away with just about any crime before 1920. Unfortunately, you could get charged with about any crime before 1920 and you'd have no way to prove your innocence. So it kind of cut both ways. But you know how easy it would be to rob a convenience store in 1920?
Mm. Well, all the like bank robber movies where there's like mafia guys robbing banks, they're in the 20s and they're just like, they stroll in with a gun, they come out with the money and
drive off.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to the tapes. Oh, we haven't invented video cameras yet. All right, well, let's check the database. So we don't have computers yet. We can't do that. Okay, fingerprints? No, they haven't even come across.
Confused why this guy knows terms that aren't alive yet.
I'm telling you, man, any crime you wanted to commit, heaven forbid you wanted to murder somebody, Derek, travel back to 1920, done.
Good to know.
They're testing the bullet casings. They're checking for DNA samples. No, none of it, man. Everything was so easy back then, including killing your parents. Lizzie Borden, rest in peace.
Oh.
Mark Zuckerberg has no idea how to be filthy rich, despite
Shut
his
up and take my money.
$63 billion net worth. Business Insider recently did a day in the life sort of piece on Zuckerberg, I guess, to highlight just how normal he is despite his massive equity, but it's not working well. Here's a typical day for Mark Zuckerberg. After waking up at 8 a.m., the Facebook founder immediately checks Facebook Messenger, and WhatsApp on his phone. Do you really think he does that every day, or
no.
Is he just saying that for the interview?
I bet you he goes on Facebook a lot less than you would think.
Because I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg would like you to believe he's just constantly on Facebook. It's like dude, you're a billionaire. What do you care what your high school buddies are up to? You know what I mean? And why are you waking up at 8 a.m.? If I was a billionaire, I'd sleep in every day. Like, you hit it, man. Let somebody else do all of the grunt work. Waking up at 8 a.m.? Mm. Once he's gotten his morning updates, Zuckerberg typically exercises about 3 times a week. I would let my body go to S if I was a billionaire. Right? What's the point? What do you need to prove?
You would just be like one of those older guys who has people with like the Leaf fans just fanning you down, feeding you grapes.
Think about how every billionaire ever has been depicted in movies or television. That'd be me. I'd be nothing like Zuckerberg. Once he's gotten his exercise in, Zuckerberg's not too picky about what he eats for breakfast. He'll usually just dig into whatever he's feeling that day. He doesn't like to waste time on small decisions.
I mean, it probably helps when you have, like, everything in the fridge.
Well, I'm just saying, why don't you just have a personal chef prepare you awesome breakfasts every day? It seems like a great idea to me. Seems like a great way to...
Seems like an affordable idea, too.
$63 billion. Yeah. Not wanting to waste time on small decisions is also why he wears the same thing almost every day. His work uniform consists of jeans, sneakers, and a gray t-shirt. When asked about his wardrobe in 2014, he said, "I really want to clear my life to make it so that I have to make as few decisions as possible about anything except how to best serve this community." Aww.
So,
what a great guy.
Literally, if Selfless. You go in his closet, it's literally like it's from like a TV series or a cartoon or something where he has literally the exact same outfit
yes!
just in the closet.
He is a cartoon character. Every episode, same shirt, same pants, same shoes. I spend most of my time thinking about how to connect to the world and serve our community better. But a lot of the time isn't in our office or meeting with people or doing what you'd call real work. Zuckerberg has some help managing his own social media channels. A squad of 12 employees helps him eliminate inappropriate comments and post updates on his personal Facebook page. So, he's not going to spend money on hiring a personal chef or hiring someone to, like a personal trainer to help him work out in the morning. But he will employ 12 people to manage his personal Facebook page, removing inappropriate comments. It seems like his priorities are a little bit out of whack. When he's not working, Zuckerberg expends some time expanding his mind. He's learning Mandarin Chinese. He also tries to tackle as many books as he can. In 2015, he challenged himself to read a new book every 2 weeks.
Does he also like long walks on the beach?
By the way, with all of this fame and fortune that Zuckerberg has amassed, you'd think that he would be aligning himself with some pretty powerful players in the world, other people who are calling the shots, the one percenters, so to speak. Zuckerberg's biggest celebrity personal friend is none other than Vin Diesel.
No. That is a weird crew.
Like, that's the celebrity who you're like, man, I'm still get starstruck every time I see Vin. Every time I see Vin popping up on my iPhone.
Do you think he, like, just kind of says he's personal friends with Vin Diesel, but Vin Diesel, when you ask him, he's just like, yeah, that guy's kind of cool, I guess. Like,
no, I bet you Vin Diesel loves being friends with Mark Zuckerberg. Those are two guys who are perfect for each other, honestly.
You think so?
I don't think that Zuckerberg has any idea how to be a billionaire. I think he doesn't have a clue what he's doing.
Doesn't sound like it.
You want to know what happened? Here's my life as a billionaire. Rolling out of bed whenever I happen to. Probably around 10 o'clock, I have two of my assistants carry me downstairs.
Okay.
Walking will be only...
You're not going to live very long.
Only when an emergency. No, I'll have a personal trainer who'll work me out 2 or 3 days a week. I have a personal chef. I have 6 or 7 nannies. And so I'm pretty much...
Why
like,
do you need 6 or 7 nannies?
Just to... Because I'm going to have a humongous
house.
For
yourself?
No, I'm going to have a humongous house and I need... There's going to be a lot of chores
like
to
maids.
Do. Yeah. Same thing, right?
No.
Nannies are...
For babies. I mean, if you're planning on...
Yeah, I'm going to have a lot of babies.
Yeah. You can afford them.
I got to keep the I gotta keep the family name strong. That's right. So, you brought this story to my attention yesterday. Many schools across the country have ceased crowning valedictorians so that other students don't feel pressured. One school official said there are also concerns about intense, potentially unhealthy competition and students letting worries about rank drive their course selections. This year, one school in Tennessee had 48 valedictorians.
Makes you feel special.
At that point, if you're not a valedictorian, you're like, man, what did I do wrong? If 50 other kids were named top of the class, there's only 150 people in my class, so I'm clearly bottom. I think that's having an adverse effect on what it really means to be a valedictorian. I don't know about you, but there were, and maybe this speaks to my group of friends, but we weren't really like clamoring over, man, I got to get valedictorian.
Yeah, it wasn't like a big deal. And hey, if there's kids who are feeling pressure to be valedictorian and they don't get it, cool, you learned a life lesson. You don't always win. If you get it, cool, you worked hard. And hey, maybe even if you didn't get it, but you worked hard to achieve it and got close, wow, you just put yourself in a really good position to go to a good college.
I would say that this is a travesty, but it's like valedictorian ethics is not a specialty of mine, and it's not really something that's going to get me immensely riled up in this case. Let's go to Hollywood now. Carrie Fisher died earlier this year. Her autopsy report was released yesterday. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not using this as vindication. This isn't I told you so. But when she passed away, I sat right here in this studio and said into this microphone that actors who were going through their golden age in the 60s and 70s and the 80s.
I mean, he could have saved all that time and just had some cocaine.
When all of those drugs were being passed around Hollywood parties, when you grow up and you live your lifestyle like that, one that's surrounded with drug use, then it's going to have an adverse effect on your health. And in her toxicology report, it indicated what drug she was on at the time of her death, and the answer to that question is pretty much all of them. Cocaine, heroin, methadone, I guess to get off the heroin, ecstasy. Ecstasy? Isn't that a young person's drug? Isn't that like a...
Hey, don't discriminate.
Club drug, Prozac, oxycodone, and a bunch of other prescriptions that I've never heard of. So essentially, the same sorts of stuff that you would find in Derek's medicine cabinet. Mm. Yeah, Derek calls
that a secret.
Derek calls that
a Tuesday.
Derek calls that a Tuesday. Now, she was a big mental health advocate, and I've heard people saying that this like discredits her advocacy of mental health issues. And I'm like, well, when you find a cocktail consisting of like 8 different drugs in your system at the time of your death, doesn't that more so verify the fact that she probably was battling with some demons?
Yeah, either that or she was going out partying.
Guess so. And finally, our final story for today's news break, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. Greatness, Daniel Day-Lewis announces that he is retiring from acting.
I don't think I could name a handful of his movies.
You, sir, are an imbecile.
The Last of the Mohicans, I think, was the only
there
one that
go.
I can think of that I've
Greatness.
Seen.
Greatness. Gangs of New York.
Never saw it.
You've never seen Gangs of New York?
No.
There Will Be Blood.
No.
Lincoln.
I know it, but I haven't seen it.
My Left Foot.
No.
Unbelievable.
See, you're running out now. You've only named 4.
Okay, well, I named 3 movies for which he won Best Actor at the Oscars. He's the only actor ever to win Best Actor 3 times. So all your favorite actors, go ahead and list them all off. None of them have done what he's done. Jack Nicholson never did it. Tom Hanks never did it. Denzel Washington never did it. Whoever you want to throw out there as being the greatest actor of all time, Rob Schneider probably deserves to toss his name into that ring. None of them have ever done what he accomplished. And this dude is like extreme method actor, will take 3 or 4 years off in between movies because he like fully immerses himself in the character. When he was playing the role of Abraham Lincoln in Lincoln, Steven Spielberg movie, Spielberg at a time during the shooting said he forgot what Lewis's real voice sounded like because even in between, when they're not filming, he stays in character. he keeps the Lincoln voice going. And he's from Britain. So, I mean, his voice, the two voices, his real voice and the Abraham Lincoln voice sound just diametrically opposed to one another. And it got to the point where he couldn't get out of character after he would get done filming, to where he would continue to go to award shows and he'd still be like talking in this accent because of the fact that he was so committed to the role. So he's got one more movie coming out, I think, later this year, and he's done. Private guy, doesn't like the glitz and the glamour, doesn't even live in America. He lives in England, I believe. And he didn't give any reason behind it. He just said it's a private matter. I'm done acting. That's it. No further commenting. So greatness. One more movie for Daniel Day-Lewis, and then it's done. Maybe you should study up on perhaps the greatest actor of all time. That's your Tuesday news break. It's 4:41 on Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Some preseason awards starting to roll in for Kansas football. We'll share them with you next.